Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Well, your latest book is called Witchcraft, the Occult, and How to Select a Familiar. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah, familiar.
Which would be what, the animal?
Well, actually, it's really funny because people always assume that it's an animal, and it can be a lot of things. A familiar is really known in different names. So it can be called a totem as an example. Okay, sometimes they're called, elves, fairies, dragons, ancestors. It includes people. So it's never a person, but it can be stones, trees, so many different things. It just means that there's a psychic link. There's a connection between you and a familiar. And it can be animals, of course, like cats and dogs and, the things that we hear about more. And it's very, very positive because basically what they do is they come and they help you. I only do positive. I have nothing negative.
You're not an evil person at all.
No. So I don't write anything negative. I don't do anything negative. I truly believe whatever you do comes back.
That's true. That's true. And it's out there. The negativity is real, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very. So we try to counteract it. We definitely stay away from it. And there's a spiritual, occult law that says like attracts like. So I always laugh because people that are positive are going to feel uncomfortable around negative people, but they may not know why, and the other way around. So I know, like, you're very positive. I'm sure you've come across people where, it feels off, and you can't put your finger on it because they didn't do anything wrong yet.
But you can feel it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Many, many times, indeed. Now, this ability that you have as a psychic and shaman has been with you since you were born. When did you leave Budapest?
Well, actually, we left during the revolution. So it was in 1956, which just aged me. But that's okay.
We'll say you were a baby then.
Well, but, then I've been back and I trained in Europe because, I'm a European shaman. So I'm Hungarian. And what happens is you only pass it down word of mouth. A lot of it is still underground nowadays. And it's not that we don't want people to have information, because that's why I write. However, some of it you can't give to the public if you really don't know who you're speaking to, because we don't want to teach negative people, because we don't need it used against us.
Do the negative people, are they all bad, or are they sometimes, psychic vampires that just suck energy, but they're nice people, they just can't get it together?
No, that's very true. That's exactly how we look at it, because sometimes we have people that drain your energy, like you said, psychic vampires. Some people are not aware of it. It's just that they have very low energy. So we're around people that have higher energy. It's kind of like a battery recharging in a flashlight. So they may not be aware that they're doing that. And then, unfortunately, you have negative people that are conscious of it. But a lot of people really aren't. They just have low energy.
That's true. But if a negative person is negative every day, this isn't going to work for me. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to make any money. You know what's going to happen? All of that will come true.
Oh, exactly. No, I agree with you, because I really feel that what you put out in thought long term eventually comes in. In fact, I have a book called Supernatural Words of Power. Because I really feel if you keep repeating something, good, bad, or indifferent, eventually you're attracting it. It's like a magnet. So I love when people go, oh, I always have a headache. And then when they get one, they're the only ones that are surprised they have it.
They brought it on themselves.
Right.
Now, is there a difference between being psychic or shamanic?
A little bit. So first of all, when you're psychic, it's very passive. There's a difference between psychic and, say, metaphysical. Psychic means that you're very passive. You're tuning into your source, whatever that may be. I look at it as God or universal power. So you're tuning into a source to get information that has nothing to do with your logical five senses. So as an example, I look at it as one end of the phone is your source. Remember when we had the wires all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So one end of it is your source. The other end is the person you're doing the reading for, like a client. Okay, and technically, you're just the wire. So I always laugh because when people ask me if I'm 100% accurate, and I never say that because honestly, at the last minute, your source can go, nope, change my mind. But I always laugh because the best thing you can say about yourself, if you're the best psychic on the planet, is you're okay as a tool. Not too impressive, and if you had an ego, that's going to take it away.
Was this genetic for you?
Well, I really believe everybody has that as a base, but some people are artists, but everybody can draw, well, except me. But I do feel that because with my father, he was always psychic. Then on my mother's side, both my grandparents were psychic and transmediums, and my grandfather also did automatic writing. And then both my sons, who are adults now, read. So they both do psychic and spiritual things.
Interesting.
And it's really funny because I didn't assume that they would. You know, growing up, they're just used to being around you. That doesn't mean it's their path. So as they got older, they started asking me to teach them something. So unless they asked me, I really didn't.
Interesting take.
It might not be their path. Now, shamanic is different because in Europe, it's actually different than here. I find if you're here in this country, a lot of times people misunderstand it. So if they're healers, which is wonderful, they assume that they're shamans. No, that just means they're wonderful healers. In Europe, to be a shaman, you had to be able to do everything. So if you think back at tribal times, a shaman basically was a spiritual leader. So I'm an interfaith minister. It was somebody that was a counselor, and again, I do counseling. It was also somebody that needed to do healing for the tribe in case something happened, so I'm a healer. It had to be somebody that's a teacher, which is why I write the books. you had to be able to do prophecy, because in tribal times, you had to know which direction to go in, because everybody started out nomadic, and you needed a shaman to go, nope, can't go that way, that's quicksand.
True.
So we don't get in trouble. They help make decisions in the tribe. So as an example, if they were going to go to war, they would ask the shaman, you know, is it something feasible? It isn't. Is it something where they'd win? Is there going to be a tribe attacking them? Should they move or not? And another thing that people don't realize is that in Europe, a shaman has to know weapons because you have to protect the tribe spiritually, like psychic self-defense, but you also have to be able to protect them physically. So in Europe, to be a shaman, you actually need to know some forms of weapons. A little bit different. Not that you can use them.
when you were writing the book, Witchcraft, the Occult, and How to Select a Familiar, for most people, Marie, when they hear the word witchcraft, they think of something evil. Do you?
No. Well, first of all, I'm actually not into the religion of witchcraft. I'm Christian-based.
Which would be Wiccan, right?
Yes, Wiccan. But I'm Christian-based. So basically, the way you look at it as a shaman is you use every culture's tool depending on what fits that particular situation. So you need to know all different cultures. However, it started out as a very strong, positive, nature-based religion. However, you do have negative people in it, just like any other religion. So I always look at it as nature is neutral. So if there's a drought on a farm, as an example, and it's raining, it's wonderful. If my neighbor is building the ark, not so much.
No, not at all.
But nature is neutral, so you are either positive or negative in how you work with it.
Have you ever come across somebody who practices witchcraft that you didn't want to be around?
Definitely. Because you know how it is. We keep running into negative people, and sometimes I really think the universe is just messing with us. You know? But you have that off feeling, like you were saying you have. You know, sometimes you have that off feeling around somebody.
Yep.
And usually it's smart not to stay around long enough to find out why. But you would know that you just don't resonate with the same type of energy. You just would feel wrong. You know, and if somebody has dark energy, if they're on the negative side in any belief system, you're going to feel very uncomfortable around them if you're positive because it's the opposite energy from you.
you know, because we're human, Marie, sometimes people are going to have a bad day. But generally, let's say they're uplifting good people. They're just human, and they're going to have that bad day. That doesn't make them a negative person, does it?
No, definitely not. And you would not pick them up as negative energy because we all get upset. It's human nature. If we never, ever got upset, I figured we're on the other side. So, no, and I truly believe everybody has both positive and negative. You can't just be 100% one because, you know, human. However, we go more by what's your dominant trait. Are you more negative or are you more positive? We're always both, though.
Exactly. You know, is it partly sunny or partly cloudy?
I like that one.
Well, you know, it's attitude. You know, you look outside, and if it's a really partly cloudy day, but there's still some sun coming, a lot of people will say it's a cloudy day. I would say it's a partly sunny day.
I'm with you.
That's a more positive thing.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.